Amen. I asked somebody one time, hey man, where is Jonah and the whale found at in the Bible? You think I'm kidding? When I first started going to church, I didn't know nothing. They looked at me and go, in the book of Jonah? That makes sense. Amen. Thank God for the book of Jonah. Glory. If you would, turn with me to Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1. I normally don't mow on Wednesdays. I like to just kind of clear my mind for the night service, but my ox was in the ditch. So I was on the mower most of the day. Praise the Lord. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Noah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Well, that didn't really make much sense, did it? Like you can really flee from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship unto the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Imagine that. So the shipmaster came to him and said to him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. Now if you would turn to chapter 2 and verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried my reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Amen. I want to preach to you today on the subject, what, Lord? I can't hear you. What, Lord? I can't hear you. I think sometimes we have that little sneakiness about us. We know the Lord's talking to us, but we are acting as if we don't hear Him. Help us, Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. Thank you for what we feel in this place right now. I feel your presence, Lord. I'm so thankful for it. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint me as the speaker tonight. I pray that you would quicken my mind. Lord, that you would give me the words to say to these wonderful people tonight. I pray that the anointing would be upon them as well, Lord. I'm nothing without you, Lord. I've got to have you, and we love you for it. And let the church say in Jesus' name, would you clap your hands one more good time to the Lord? Thank you. again, I want to say again how thankful I am that you have came to the house of the Lord tonight. It is not the same without you. I know that I sound repetitious in saying that. Lord bless you. You may be seated. I'm sorry. But it is true. It is so true. It's not the same without you. You might think, well, you know, I'm not that important. Surely y'all can have church without me. I would beg to differ. Amen. You're a very vital, very important part of this assembly. I love you. I thank you for your faithfulness. And I thank you for the beautiful Father's Day card that you presented to me Sunday, along with a gift card. Thank you so much. I will use it wisely. Praise God. Amen. So, I've got a little bit of... You know what? Let me turn this off. Maybe this is it, Sister Victoria. Maybe the ringing will stop now. That was it. I left this mic on. That's what I've been doing. Ta-da! Go ahead. It's all my fault. I repent. Amen. What, Lord? I can't hear you. Yeah, right. I had a friend of mine, Roger Richardson. God rest his soul. We were running buddies whenever we were kids. And I mean running buddies. We oh, Lord. I've already repented. But I mean, we would have a good time, but we were ornery and we'd get into all kinds of things. I could talk about Raj for a little while. Whenever, you know, we grew up began to live a life of sin and drugs and alcohol and just, you know, that hard life. And when I came to that fork in the road and I took off this way with the Lord, he kept going in the wrong direction. I lived that hard life for years after. Just took a toll on him. How many knows that hard living will take a toll on one's body? So I had lost contact with Rod, hadn't talked to him in like 10 years. And I went back to my home where I was raised in Athens, which was at that time the first time we'd been back to Athens for a lengthy visit since we had pastored the church. So we were enjoying ourselves and we were there for a week and or a few days, might not have been exactly a week, but we were heading out of town, headed back to Gatesville, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "You need to go find Raj." And I turned to my wife, I said, "Honey," I said, "I need to go find Raj." Hadn't talked to him in 10 years. I turned around. We'd already headed out of town. I turned around, drove back into town. And I went to his home, their old homestead. That was the last place I knew he was at. And his mom and dad had built him just a little bitty old box, really. His dad, mom, they were good people, hardworking people, had done well for themselves through the years. And before his father died, he said, "You know, I'm going to make Roger a little house, because if I don't, he won't ever have a place to live." Because he was going in that direction. You see what I'm saying? So I went back to where I last knew he was at, and there was that old Cracker Box house. And I walked up, and boy, I hit that door. He goes, "Who is it?" I said, "It's your worst nightmare. Open this door." And he already knew the voice, even though when we grew up together. "Huh, what are you doing here?" Open that door. He looked so old, so beat up. And I almost just started crying. I said, "Well, Raj, life's been hard on you, hasn't it?" And he looks at me and goes, "Boy, I gave it a run for its money." Well, we got to talking. Now, this is not part of my message. I just feel led to tell the story. I got to talking. He opens up to me. He goes, "You know, Jimmy," he said, "you're probably not going to believe this, but I've been reading my Bible here lately, and I've been praying and trying to change my life." And he said, "I've really been doing pretty good." I said, "Raj, that's great." And we visited for a while, and I was able to pray with him, and the Holy Ghost was there. And I left, and he started sending me text messages because we exchanged phone numbers and everything. It was great. Had my old buddy back, you know. He sent me a text. I think I still got that text. He says, "I'm going to come stay with you a few days here pretty quick." I said, "Man, that'd be great, Raj." And about a week later, I got the phone call. I was fixing to get out of my office to come preach Brother Eddie Newman's funeral. And I got the phone call. Actually, I got the text message from his aunt. And I looked at it just enough to see what I didn't want to see. And I just tossed it to my daughter, Victoria. I said, "Don't give me this phone until I'm done with this funeral." And I went up there and I preached Brother Eddie's funeral. And it was a good time in the Lord. And when I got through, I gathered myself together. I went over and received the message that he had had a heart attack. 49 years old, 48, 47, something like that, young man. And, but you know what? The Lord sent me there that day. 2 weeks prior to that, the Lord sent me there to see Raj and to tell him that God loves him and that it only takes God that quick to forgive somebody. I witnessed him get baptized in Jesus' name, Sister Sellers. I witnessed him speak in tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Way back when we were kids. Praise God. It don't take long for God to forgive. Hallelujah. I don't care. Maybe this is going to tie together to what message is, but I don't care how long you run from God. It don't take long. Amen. He'll come back to your rescue and pick you up and dust you off, hallelujah, and give you a reason to live in this world that we live in. Praise God, praise God. Woo, I feel the Holy Ghost. Praise God, praise God, praise God. But I was fixing to tell another story. Me and Rod, we were little, and they had a farm, and they had this tractor, and they had a little old Datsun pickup. You could start it with a pair of scissors. And we were 7, 8 years old, and we would crank that truck up with them scissors. We'd drive on down the road. You know, that's the way it was. It was a stick shift. You know, we had time. And you know, what was crazy was we could take the truck and never get in trouble, Brother Juan. But if we ever looked at that tractor, we were in serious trouble. Because the tractor was their livelihood. You understand? And one day, we came outside to get the truck, crank it with them. It was those pointy scissors, you know, like the old pointy haircut scissors. And went out there, and guess what? His older brother done took the truck. And we were sitting there high and dry. And I seen the look in Roger's face. And he's staring at that truck, that tractor. And I said, "Rog, don't do it." He just kind of eased off as old Rog would do, him and his little old linky self. And he went in the house, he come back out with them tractor keys. I said, "Rog, don't do it." He said, "Be all right." He cranked it up. Here we go. We go driving down the blacktop road. And we're having a good time. Now notice I jumped on board too, right? And I'm sitting on that fender well and Raj is driving. We're having a good time. And here comes his mom. And she drives up. Now she was from Honduras. She had this accent. And she come up. She was in a little Datsun too. Datsun car, a little Datsun station. She pulled up. She said, "Rogel! Rogel! You turn that twacker off there, Rogel!" And I'm sitting there, and she's right there. And he said, "Don't look, don't look. Just look out there in the field like we don't hear her." And, you know, we're sitting, and Roger's pointing out there in the field. And I'm going, yeah. And she's like, meh. "Roger, I'm going to whip you when you get home. I'm going to whip you." We ignored it as though we couldn't hear. And when we got home, she grabbed Roger by the ear, and I mean pulled his ear, almost pulled his other ear through his head. And she marched him up there, and well, I put it this way, home. But you know, we'll pretend like that with God. Amen. God knows you hear him. Amen. God knows you hear him. Amen. When his word is going forth and preaching out, amen, the word of God. Amen. When it's penetrating in your ears and touching your heart, amen, you can act as though you don't hear the word of God. But my friend, amen, God knows that you hear him running from the Lord. The voice of God or the will of God will get you in a dire need of rescue. Come on, 911 somebody. If there's one thing I don't want to do, it's to be on the wrong side of the Lord. Amen. You can't flee from his presence. Amen. If your appetite longs for something, you'll pay the fare, whatever it costs. Amen. When your appetite longs for it, my wife and I had the privilege to go to Alaska for our 30th anniversary, and she wanted some snow crab legs. Her appetite was headed in that direction so fast that it didn't matter how much they cost, we were going to pay the fare. Oh, I made Mama happy that day. Oh. Amen. But if your appetite longs for something, you're going to pay the fare. Amen. The Bible says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Amen. Oh, come on, saints of God. Amen. Amen. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. Where's your treasures? Where's your desire? Where is your appetite at? Is it in the things of God? Is your appetite in the will of God? Amen. Is your appetite only in your, you know, what I want? Isaiah 29:8 says, "It shall even be as when a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awaketh, and his soul is empty. Or when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awakeneth, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. So shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion." Amen. When a hungry man dreams, he's eating, and wakes up, he's still hungry. Or when a thirsty man dreams that he is drinking, he wakes up and he's still thirsty. Amen. The appetite will not really be filled when you're fighting against God and his will. Amen. But if you'll get your appetite on the God stuff, if you'll get your appetite on the Lord, amen. If you'll really have a "Lord, not my will, but thine be done." Don't call that whenever you're just wanting something. Don't live like the devil and then go and apply so that you can get financially or so you can get financing for a car and then go, Lord, not my will, but thine be done, Lord. If it's your will. As soon as the Lord, amen, doesn't give you that car, you're going to be back in the same old boat. Your appetite's not where it needs to be. Hallelujah. Amen. And whenever we are driven into the lust of the flesh, and we're driven to our mind as the way we want to see it, we're really just trying to pull a fast one on the Lord, maybe. What, Lord? I can't hear you. Yeah, you can hear me. Jonah heard from God, go to Nineveh. But he didn't do it. His appetite wasn't in the Lord. His appetite was what he wanted. His appetite needed to change. If his appetite had changed, see, you can change your appetite. If you don't believe me, ask Brother Gibbs. He started eating those steaks. What's it called? Wagyu. Don't give me some Wagyu steaks. He changed his appetite. He can't come to my house and eat a little old round steak no more. He's got to have Wagyu. He done changed his appetite. Woo, what are you trying to say, Pastor? I'm just trying to say, hey, maybe you need to change your appetite. Maybe you need to feast at the table of the Lord for a little while. Hallelujah. Maybe you need to pull up, amen, and feast at His table. Praise God. And there's a lot of things there that you could have. You need some hope? Pass me the hope down here. You need some joy? Pass me some joy. You need some deliverance? Pass me some deliverance. I need to be delivered. I need to be set free. Woo! Hallelujah! Change your appetite. Change your appetite. Praise God. If you're hungry for the Lord, He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. He'll fill you right up. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hallelujah. If you're hungry enough for the Lord, you'll let go of some things that you love. If you're hungry enough for the Lord, you'll let go of some things that you love. If you really desire to feast at the Master's table, you'll be willing to let go of the sack lunch. You get what I'm trying to say? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. What, Lord? I can't hear you. Why can't you hear the Lord? Amen. What's keeping you from the will of God? The Bible says in Luke 9, chapter 57, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wherever thou goest. Listen to his attitude. Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. I'll listen to you. I'll be obedient to you. My appetite will be of the God stuff. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house, And Jesus said to him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now you can pretend that you don't hear the word of God, but friend, I know that you hear the word of God. The word of God saying is we're not even fit for the kingdom of God if we get our hand on the plow and we're looking back. Amen. You can't look for new things. You can't look for new blessings in your life. You can't look and find true deliverance if you're constantly looking back at the things that you're leaving behind, praise God. Oh my Lord, have mercy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Move forward into the will of God. Get a spiritual ear. Get rid of your fleshy ear. My Lord, don't make me get on it. You need a spiritual ear, not a fleshy ear. We listen to all that garbage music, that old devil music and stuff. We put all that stuff, the cursing and all that stuff, we cram it down in our fleshy ears, and then we want to have a spiritual ear and hear the voice of God. He said, lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, touch me. Give me spiritual eyes. Give me spiritual ears. Amen. What's keeping you from the will of God? What's keeping you from being obedient to the Word of God? What's keeping you from having an appetite to feast with the Lord? Is it family? Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's anger. Well, if I just get so angry I can't control it. Maybe it's work. What's keeping you from the will of God? Maybe it's offense. Maybe it's loneliness. Maybe it's just hurt. Saint, the Lord can get your attention just like He got Jonah's. How big of a fish would it take to get your attention? It's amazing to me the story. You know, here he was. God told him to go. Basically, God gave him a word. And he just let it go in one ear and out the other. Goes and does his own thing. Gets on a boat, heading a different direction. The Lord sends a great storm. He's back there just chilling out, sleeping, snoozing. I mean, after all, he's feeding his appetite. He's where he wants to be. And all of a sudden, the people on the ship come over here and wake him up. Get up, you old lazy bum. What are you doing? How can you sleep in a time like this? What have you done? Is it your God? What is your God mad at you? What have you done? And they play this game for a little while, and finally they throw him overboard. Peace. Big fish comes up. Tasting down to the deep. And it's at that time, that moment, that he decides, you know what? Maybe I could just start talking to God. Maybe repent. Maybe open my ears and say, okay, Lord, now I'm ready to listen to you. How big of a fish do we have? Does it have to come into our life before we find, okay, Lord, I'm listening now? How big of a storm does it have to come into your life before it finally wakes you up and go, you know what? I'm tired of living like this. I'm fixing to walk a new path. I want the Lord's perfect will in my life. Praise God. So then, after he repents, the Lord comes to his rescue, makes the big fish come up out of the water, blah! Spits him out right on the bank. Seaweed and all. And then he goes where God told him to go. And he gets there, he preaches the word, the people of the city that was wicked, they repented, and then he got mad because God spared them. Go figure. He got mad because God spared them. I knew you was going to do that. That's why I didn't even want to come to begin with. Isn't it something how we get irritated and frustrated? God gives us grace and mercy, but it don't work out exactly the way we want it to work out. We get all booger-lipped and decide it ain't. I just want to die. That's what Jonah said. I'm tired of this. It goes back and pouts underneath the tree, sweating. Son's cooking him. You want to just kill me. And then the Lord brung this leaf. I'm paraphrasing. You can look it up. Brings this leaf to cover him. Isn't it awesome, the grace of God? So here he is. He's throwing a fit over, nothing. I mean, my goodness. The Lord spared his life. But now he's mad because the Lord spared Nineveh's life. So he's sitting over there sulking, pouting. Can't believe you did that. Got me all the way over here. Now you're just going to let them just get off free. The Lord went on ahead and put shade over him. The Bible says that the shade covered him from the sun. And he began to kind of feel better, But then the Bible says the Lord brung a worm. And the worm ate the leaf. Now the sun started. Probably had a bald head. Then he started getting sassy again. It all boiled down to his appetite. I don't know that Jonah ever really repented. I mean, go read the book of Jonah. I don't think so. At the end of the story, he was still frustrated, bent out of shape, mad at the world. Look at all this stuff that's happened to me. We can get so mad at the situation that's in our life, and we're sitting there, we're fussing at God, and most of the time we put it in our own pocket. All because we wanted to feed our own appetite. Our appetite never would change. I'm just trying to tell somebody today, your appetite must change. If you want the things of God in your life, like you say you do, your appetite has to change. And your appetite has to start wanting the things of God. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what He wants. You know what He wants. His Word is not confusing. His Word will show you. Amen. If you get underneath the preached Word of God, the preached Word of God will show you and give you direction. Hallelujah. The altar, amen. The Bible says the compass is at the altar. Amen. Somebody just needs to come to the altar and get where the compass is. Amen. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say God will give you direction. He'll guide you. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you got to listen. You got to hear. You got to respond. You got to begin to want to feast at the Master's table. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. What, Lord? I can't hear you. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The Bible says that the Lord sent a great wind at the sea. Amen. Verse 10, and the Lord spake unto the fish and vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Chapter 3 and verse 1. And Sister Skiles, if you'll come. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. His appetite changed. I can hear you now, Lord. I'm also reminded of the story of Jacob. Jacob was hungry enough to send his sons where there was food. Jacob had already lost one son. But he was hungry enough. Sorry, right, Lord. It was the greatest thing he ever done. Depending on him, depending upon the Lord is the greatest thing you'll ever do. Yes. Fellowshipping with him is the greatest thing you can do. If you sit in fellowship with the Lord enough, your appetite will change. You know how come I know? Because I know. I've encountered it. I fellowship with the Lord enough, Sister Angela, that some of those things that I shouldn't have been doing, it began to taste bitter to me. I didn't like it as much as what I used to. My appetite changed. I remember when I first started just even thinking about stop drinking. I loved it. I used to make statements like, man, this is great. I'll never quit this. But all of a sudden, my appetite changed. Glory! Hallelujah. 23 years later, still dry. Hallelujah. Glory. I can hear you now, Lord. Do you get all that clutter in your life? I'm trying to close. I really am. You get all that clutter in your life, you can't hear the voice of God like you need to. Some people wonder why they can't, you know, man, I just can't make right decisions. Well, the Lord's trying to guide you, but you're not listening because you got all that other stuff clattering around you. Why don't you try to eliminate some things? I surprise you. You might be able to hear the voice of God more clearly. Hallelujah. You can stand. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad for the Lord's mercy? Hallelujah. He's not going to, you know, it. He kept showing Jonah mercy. I'm telling you, the Lord's is so good to us. Why don't you come to the altar today and begin to talk to Him? You want more of the Lord? You want to have a closer relationship with Him? It starts by changing your appetite. Lord, everything else is taking a back seat.